Hey guys, how's it going?
Look at that. I'm 1-0 in my predictions today. I was one of two yesterday. I had TCU winning in Lubbock. My bad.
Me too.
Son of a gun over there.
Patterson.
I mean, the guy's got a six-pack, and now he's got a winning program, too. How much more does the guy deserve? Enough of him already.
Yeah.
Tired of him. Anyway, Paul, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're talking about some actual football, and then we talk about some nonsense, too. But were you expecting that the folks from Texas Tech would give TCU trouble last night?
We had Texas Tech winning that game in 50,000 simulations 50.5% of the time. So it was a coin flip game. It really played like a coin flip game, actually. Obviously, Texas Tech pulled away a little bit late, but the game was pretty close, pretty even throughout. I think it could have gone either way. It was a three-point line in Vegas. TCU was favored. What was interesting about that for us is we had the Horned Frogs as a top 10 team before the season started, but that was with some assumption that Casey Paja would be able to come back, be healthy, A, and B, be something like what he was for the first half of last season and the year before, and obviously that wasn't the case.
I thought he was going to cry last night. Somebody bumped into his bum shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't look very good.
I've got a simulation that says that most of those Texas big boosters now are the bloom is off the rose for Gary Patterson there. They don't like a coach that loses to Texas Tech.
That's right.
Regardless, and so he's coached his way out of that job pretty quickly.
The prediction I saw online yesterday was that 50,000 women in Texas got pregnant yesterday watching Cliff Kingsbury coach on the sidelines.
Who knew he would be involved in a recruiting scandal, but it's women's volleyball. It has nothing to do with football players in Texas.
So, Paul, we're actually talking about home field advantage,
yeah.
And we don't want anecdote. We want actual information. And there were a couple of very surprising home field advantage numbers that you came up with here. So tell me about the process, what you go through to determine who has the edge.
Sure. So we evaluated all 120 teams that have been in FBS more than two seasons now over the course of the last 12 to 13 seasons, depending on how long they've been around, and looking at the stadiums, the new stadiums they have in general. We evaluated just how different a team plays at home versus on the road. That's how to truly figure out a home field advantage, is to understand how much better a team gets or how much better a team gets when it's at home, or how much worse a team gets when it goes away home. And so it's a level of consistency, I think, as a measure. And some of the few things that I think really stand out in terms of our home field advantage analysis historically with both college basketball and with college football is elevation certainly matters, and it matters more so probably in basketball than football. But if you see the Utah States and the BYUs of the world up there, it's not because the fans in Utah are necessarily the best fans in the country, though they're great, but it's more so because it's tough to play up in that elevation that certainly comes through in a home field advantage. What we've also seen, though, is that the Big 12 in general has several teams in our top 25 or 30, and that's because I think when you look at the officiating there, they tend to be a little bit more biased toward the home team than the away team than some of the other conferences. In general, the SEC is relatively average, and there's a lot of teams toward the bottom of our rankings from the SEC within our college football home field advantage rankings, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Alabamas and the LSUs of the world that are both in the top, they're in the bottom 10 in our home field advantage numbers. It's not that they have bad fans, it's just that they play the same, whether they're at home or on the road, meaning it doesn't really matter where they're going. They tend to be very good. The very good and the very bad teams are those that tend to gravitate toward the bottom in their numbers.
Yeah, you're too good. You're too good, so you get to the bottom on the home field advantage. And last on the list, this was a shocker to me, despite all what you just said. I cannot believe this is the case, because this is a place that is pretty well known for having a pretty excellent home field advantage and a great environment. But Florida State, 120?
Yeah, and it's not only that Florida State's at 120, they've actually been better on the road relative to expectations than at home. So they have a negative home field advantage by almost a full point. So when we factor that into our numbers, and we've been using this in our numbers now for a couple seasons and had tremendous success at evaluating the likelihood of any team winning, covering, et cetera, in any of these college football games, and I think this has a lot to do with it, because the difference between Florida State playing at home or on the road is minimal, though they actually play better on the road relative to expectations. The difference between a team like Oklahoma or UCLA or Wisconsin, which are our top three in our home field advantages, playing on the road versus at home is 7 points in either direction. That's how much home field advantage can mean in college football, a full 7 points. Most people just assume it's three, and on average it's three. You talked about Kyle Field. Kyle Field is exactly at three, exactly at average overall there and for Texas A&M and College Station. But if you look at those extreme teams, and Arkansas State and Arkansas are all also both in our top 25. That can mean 5, 6, 7 points to play at home versus on the road. If you play two of those teams against each other, you can see a full 14-point swing just from the where those two teams are facing off against each other in that game.
Yeah, Hawaii number 5 on this list, and I guess that's probably twofold. A, it's a long way to go, and B, you get distracted by the other things to do when you're in Hawaii. So.
Yeah, not too surprisingly, UNLV is up there as well for similar reasons.
That's true. Good point.
Is this adjusted for weather? I mean, because obviously inside conference play, you know, you go to from Purdue goes to play at Ohio State, weather's similar. But as you see, the conference is expanding now.
That's a good point.
You got a team from Miami that's going to play, you know, way above the Mason-Dixon line in November. I just threw that out there.
No, it's a great point. Something that I've given some thought to. We don't actually adjust for. We actually layer in weather in a different capacity. So when the weather actually exists, we pay attention to how it affects teams. Weather affects teams more based on how the teams are constructed than otherwise, I would say, in general. But I think a warm weather team playing in cold weather certainly makes an impact. The elevation note that I made earlier, we actually have an account for in there. So if you're Wyoming, which is over 6,000 feet up in the air there in Laramie, going to play in Logan, Utah, which is about 5,500 feet, that impact is minimal. It's none, basically, in our numbers. It's not the exact number that we would publish here because it's very different than a Florida Atlantic, which I believe is the lowest stadium in the entire country, just below sea level on the Florida coast. And that, going to Wyoming or to Utah State, would make a significant difference, which we actually see in basketball because they're in the same conference.
Paul Basir of PredictionMachine.com joining us in the zone. We're talking about home field advantage. Some of the others in the top 10, Kansas State, Nevada, Troy, which we saw was not good enough on the road last night, but very close at ASU. Missouri, number 9. And I've been to Missouri. They have a pretty good environment there. What do you account? How do you account for their home field advantage?
Well, this is one of the more interesting things to watch because we've done this analysis for 3 years now, and the teams that have shifted the most are the teams, for the most part, that have changed conferences, partially because, obviously, the level of competition is different, but I think most importantly because the officials are different. Missouri was number 4 on this list 2 years ago, and they've come down to number 9. Now, obviously, that's not a huge jump, but I think it's notable. I wouldn't be surprised if their home field advantage continues to diminish because they're going from the Big 12, which historically has the highest percentage of home winners at over about 66%, I believe, in the last decade plus. The home winners have won in the Big 12 within conference play. And that significant that number, that Big 12 number, is higher than anywhere else. And if you're looking at especially gaining an edge over Vegas, look for the Big 12 in general to have the best home field advantage over the course of its team. So while Missouri is high now, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep coming down because the SEC officials in general, I think, are a little bit better, a little bit more consistent, a little less biased toward the home team, which is why home field advantage exists in every sport that we've ever covered. And because the teams in Missouri are playing you week in and week out right now, unlike Missouri, are very consistent, consistently really good in the case of most teams in the SEC, or consistently pretty bad as in the case of maybe one team specifically that's plays its games in Lexington, Kentucky.
What is the SEC win percentage at home?
I don't have it directly in front of me. I think it's something in the 57-58% range, which I know is still notable, but that's a pretty significant jump from winning 2/3 of the time to less than 60% of the time when you're looking at top to bottom, two conferences that have been pretty good for that same time period.
But it is a good point. When you look at the criteria that you use to measure home field advantage, not a lot of climate change or anything like that going from even from Tuscaloosa or Athens to even Fayetteville, which would be probably an on-campus game, would be probably the biggest jump in terms of you're a little bit of elevation, you're kind of up in the Ozarks, but it's all pretty much the same style, same athletes, so it would make sense. It'd be tough to
other notables.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Part of the way I evaluate this is I grew up with season tickets to Wisconsin Badger football games, and I'd like to pretend like I had a role in that number 3 ranking that the home field advantage gets. So as a fan, I'm proud of that, but if I were rooting for a team, I'd much rather be Alabama at 116. I'd much rather my team was exactly the same, and then preferably in a good way, week in and week out, and LSU's there, and there's a few other teams that are down in the bottom there, Florida State being one of them, though I don't know if I'd like a negative home field advantage. But I'd probably rather cheer for a program that was the same regardless. It wasn't so inconsistent like the Missouri's, the Oklahomas, the Wisconsins of the world, as opposed to just trying to have some kind of hope or some kind of impact on the team once they're playing at home.
Paul Basir, PredictionMachine.com, joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. A couple other notable schools, Pigskin, your Michigan Wolverines, 13th on this list. Arkansas State got a home win last night, number 17 on the list, and as you mentioned, Arkansas also in the top 25 at 24, just ahead of South Carolina, and just behind my alma mater, which will be hosting a dismal Iowa team against the dismal team that they have this weekend. So a matchup for not the ages, whatever the opposite of that is. But anyway, that's it's a lot of interesting information. Any prediction on the Arkansas game this weekend?
Yeah, and Southern Miss is a team that's I would say would be considered vastly improved year over year, but that doesn't mean that that's a team you have to worry too much about. We've simulated this 50,000 times, and we've got Arkansas winning 37-15. I wish I could give you some kind of strong opinion relative to the numbers. That's a slight lean toward the over, but right on the 22 line that that the Vegas seems to have this game. It's the sixth most likely FBS over FBS win, which is pretty notable considering LSU over Kent State, Michigan over Akron. We mentioned Florida State earlier. All of those teams have 30-plus point lines. So Arkansas in a pretty good position to win here well over 90% of the time. And I can tell you, in a big upset, huge shocker, we've got Iowa State winning outright over in that game.
That's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. How about one more game, the A&M-Alabama game, before we let you go?
Yeah, this is going to be – I was really kind of surprised to see our numbers, not in terms of who we have winning. We've had Alabama as the number one team in our power rankings for 41 consecutive weeks. They'd be at least a five-point favorite on the road against anybody in the country. We just mentioned their home field advantage, not that significant, which plays a role into that conversation as well. But against this team at this pace, with both offenses being better than at least their defenses, and I think overall better than the defenses that they're playing against, watch for a shootout. We've got it right on Vegas's line in terms of the spread. Alabama wins by about 7.5 on average, but 38-31 is our predicted score. We've got Alabama winning about 2/3 of the time in 50,000 simulations by almost exactly a touchdown, but it's well over what Vegas says is that number for the total at 61, and that's because if you go back and look what Alabama's done against very good teams recently, they've been able to put up points. That offense is significantly better than their own defense, and it's definitely better than what you're going to see where the question marks are on the defensive side of the ball with Texas A&M. Manziel will get his points. You could even see A&M, kind of like we saw Alabama do to Auburn a couple years ago, get up 3 touchdowns and still lose. This game is going to be a long game. It's going to be entertaining. I think it should be a lot of fun for people to watch.
Paul, we appreciate it always. Great information and just some interesting stuff to banter about, I guess, as we go forward. But we'll see how it all shakes out this weekend. Thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Check it out at predictionmachine.com.